No.
Action?
Yeah. So, Rabotai, tomorrow is Ta'anit Esther. There's an interesting Me'iri in a Sefer Bet HaBechira in Masechet Megillah. The Mishneh Berurah says the same thing in Siman Taf Resh Pei Vav. Ta'anit Esther is very different than all of the other fast days. Why is that? All, obviously, besides Yom Kippur is in a different league. But all of the other Ta'aniyot, the other four Ta'aniyot of the year, all revolve around the Churban Bet HaMikdash. They're all sad fasts that have something to do with the siege of Yerushalayim, the breach of the walls, the Churban. You know, Tzom Gedaliah also has to do with the Churban, because even though Gedaliah was killed after the Churban, that was like the final nail. That's when the rest of the remnants of Am Yisrael were exiled out of it. So all of the other Ta'aniyot of the year, they are all sad, mournful, sorrowful fasts. Ta'anit Esther is not. The Talmud does not speak anywhere about Ta'anit Esther. None. And neither does the Navi. You know, all of the other Ta'aniyot that we have, Yom Kippur is mentioned in the Torah. The other Ta'aniyot, Tisha B'Av, and the other ones of the Beit HaMikdash are mentioned in the Navi Zechariah. They're mentioned as Tzomer Ve'ayiv, Tzomer Hamishi. It's mentioned in the Tanakh. Whereas, all of a sudden, interestingly, Ta'anit Esther is mentioned nowhere. Not in the Navi, or Ketuvim, or the Shas. It's not even the first mention. Even the Rambam doesn't bring it. It's brought down from other Poskim. The Bet Yosef quotes several other Poskim who learn it out from a Midrash. So first, I would ask you, why do we fast on Ta'anit Esther? Why? For what reason? Good. Noach, Mat Omen. Yefemel, that's exactly the answer I was waiting for, because that's what most people say. There is a fast day mentioned in Megillat Esther, actually a three-day fast day, okay, where this was when Mordechai sent to tell Esther, okay, you got to get ready, prep to go into Ahasuerus and spill the beans and save us. And she said, no, but if I go, I'm going to die. And he said, well, guess what? If you don't go, you're also, well, we're all going to die. So she said, okay. She eventually, not only that, the Gemara says, Masechet Megillah, Daf Yudalet, the Gemara says that there was another conversation there. V'chasher avadti, avadti, she says, well, Mordechai, my dear cousin slash
husband,
if I go until now, as the Gemara says in Masechet Ketubot of Gimel Amud Bet, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Samech Vav Amud Bet, the Gemara says that Esther, how come, look, can I ask you a question? This is before we get back. Esther was a married woman, okay? She was married to Mordechai. Gilui Arayot is one of the three cardinal sins for which, yes, we know this, that a person is obligated to give up his life, yeah? If your life is threatened for the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Shfichut Damim, the halacha is that you are obligated to give up your life. Esther was taken as the queen. How come, if she was a married woman, and most of the Ba'alei HaTosfot, besides Rabbi Mutam, understand that the bi'ah of a goy, meaning having an affair with a goy while married to another Jew, is likewise yiharek v'al yavur, it's also arayot, how come Esther didn't give up her life? Esther was taken, and she was cohabited with.
She's passive.
Oh. So the Gemara gives one terutz. There's other terutzim in the Zohar Kadosh. The Gemara in both of those places gives a terutz that Esther was karka olam, which means that although in general bi'ah takes two to tango, however, it can be done in a way where one is active and one is passive. Okay? Which means that the man is the more active, in general, could be the more active participant, and the woman just sits there. The Gemara is mechadesh, that only for active arayot is a person obligated to give up his life. Okay, let's say a man, or even a woman that was doing something actively. Every time thus far that Esther was taken by Achashverosh, she lay there like a dead fish. She's karka olam, Achashverosh did his thing. That's considered passive arayot, in which case you are not obligated to give up your life. That is one thing. Now, to which the Gemara actually says, interestingly, what about, well, let me ask you a question. If that's the case, what about a man? A man is tied up, and they tell him, okay, we're going to grab you, and he's not doing anything, we're going to grab you and throw you onto an ishet ish, or you die. Don't do anything. take the bullet or let yourself be thrown onto an Ish HaTish?
Bullet.
Why?
Because the man still controls his everyday
kasher. Oh, the Gemara says, "En kishui ela ledat," which means, interestingly, there's no such thing as passiveness when it comes to getting an erection. In order to, even if you're thrown on, to get a kishui, to get an erection, that requires activity. And therefore, you would still be arig v'ali avon by men, even though they're throwing you on. Interesting thing. Now, so Esther told Mordechai, number one, if I am pursuing this now, okay, I am no longer passive. What am I? Now I'm active. I'm going to him. She knew. It's not just, you know, when you're a kid, they say, oh, I'm going to Ahasuerus. Going to Ahasuerus unannounced means that what would she have to do? She'd have to seduce him by being with him. That's part of the thing. And she told Mordechai, number one, now it becomes a situation of Yarek Ve'al Yavor, because now I'm active. And number two, even if you're going to tell me it's not Yarek Ve'al Yavor because the entirety of the existence of Am Yisrael depends on that act, and you tell me I have to do it anyway, then what? After I'm done, you know, the Gemara says that every time, you know, Esther used to live in the castle all the time. She used to be with Ahasuerus. And then she used to go home, be tovin, and be with Mordechai. Why? Because the halacha is that by a, not Eshet Kohen, but Eshet Levi ve Eshet Yisrael, she'ne'insa, if a Jewish woman who is not the wife of a Kohen is raped by someone else, what's the halacha? She's mutar to her husband. Eshet Kohen is different. Unfortunately, the Torah says meforash, that if an Eshet Kohen is raped by someone else, she becomes a surah to her husband because of the kedusha of the Kohanim. But Eshet Levi ve Eshet Yisrael, fine. Mordechai was Israel. Mordechai was which Shevet? Binyamin. He was Israel. He was not a Kohen. Therefore, she was still muteret. But now she says, V'chasher avati avati, now you're telling me to actively engage Ahasuerus on my own. That means what? That means that it's no longer rape. Now it's what? Now it's consensual. And therefore, if that's the case, we're going to have to get divorced. Mordechai said, for the sake of the salvation of Am Yisrael, so be it. And they got divorced as a result of that masi. But anyway, Esther, back to the Megillah, Esther said, okay, lech kenos et kol ha'yehudim ha'nimtzeim b'shushan, v'sumu alai, v'al tochelu, v'al tishtu shlosha amim laila v'yom, gam ani v'na'arotai atzomkin, uv'chein avoy la'milach ha'sholuch adat, v'cha'asher avati avati. She says, okay, I want you to fast for 3 days. When was this? Ready? Let's get some timeline going on. Haman was, it's always important to have the timeline. Haman, this was during the, anybody know what year of the reign of Ahasuerus when this happened? This was number 3. Okay, how long did Ahasuerus rule for altogether?
11?
14. Now, anyway.
11 plus 15.
Yeah, so now the Megillah says that on the 3rd year of Ahasuerus' reign, Haman was raised to power, and he hated the Jews, and he made his goral on the 13th of, he made it during Adar, and it fell out when?
On
during Chodesh Adar, on the to kill all the Jews on the 13th of Adar. Now, he was so happy, right? That was the thing with Moshe Rabbeinu. He was happy. Ah, Yofi, Baruch Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu died in this month. The Mazal of Am Yisrael is in the dam. See, Hamor, Moshe Rabbeinu was also born in this month. Anyway, Hamor Amaleki, Zevil. Yeah, the not only, you know, Rova juice, worse than Rova juice is you know, the, you know what that is? The runoff in the shuk, you know, that's, yeah, Haman only wishes he could be that. Anyway, Bekitzur, now.
That's an insult.
Huh? The runoff that's mixed with the sponja, you know what I'm saying? That one. So, Mikol Makom, so over there, the, so he was very, huh?
That's where
yeah, anyway. Kitzer. So he was happy that it fell during Chodesh Adar. Now, what happened? They were trying to overturn it for a few months. That Nisan was when the party was. Esther came to Ahasuerus. What were the 3 days that Esther asked Am Yisrael, or commanded Am Yisrael actually to fast for? Yudalet, Tetvav, Tetzain, Nisan. Dates sound familiar?
Pesach.
The first time she came to Ahasuerus was on Yudalet ben Nisan. What did she say? She came the first time to Ahasuerus. What was her request?
Party.
Party, right? Party time tomorrow. So first party was on Tetvav ben Nisan. She came the first time on Yudalet. First party was on Tetvav ben Nisan. Ahasuerus came to the party. What did she say? What was her request then? next party, tomorrow. And the Gemara says, Achashverosh is thinking, why is she always, you know, she's inviting me and Haman to a party and he's sneaking into my house late at night in the dark. Like, why is she always inviting him to parties and he's here at night and whatever? Achashverosh wasn't the most intelligent fellow. You know what I'm saying? You know, Ktzat Hamor, Ktzat Arbi, you know what I'm saying? And he's overthinking. Ted Zayin Be'adar. Now that year, by the way, the Gemara says, there was no Pesach. No Seder, no Arba Kosot. There was a 72-hour fast of the entirety of Am Yisrael. And Nashim Vataf. Why were they able to be Mevatel Pesach? Kuach Nefesh. The lives of the entire Am Yisrael was in danger. Lo Haya Pesach. I'm just sitting, learning, davening, b'tshuva, chozrim b'tshuva. Anyway, on Ted Zayin B'Nisan, which was the morning after, that's when everything happened. The second night of Pesach is when Achashverosh Balayla Una Dada Shenat HaMelech. He was up all night thinking, what happened to Mordechai? Haman comes in the middle of the night and he says, what should I do? And he says, oh, do that. On the morning of Ted Zayin B'Nisan, they quickly took Haman, right? Haman had to go and give Mordechai a haircut and take him around. The Gemara says, interestingly, when Haman did that, he asked, Mordechai had to mount the horse, nachon, kach yaaseh, sus. And the Gemara says, ba'at be. Mordechai on his way up, he says, I can't get up, I have a bad back, vizeh. I don't have a step stool, what am I supposed to do? He says, bend over. You know, he told Haman to bend over. And Haman bent, the Gemara says, mefurash. And on his way up, Mordechai, tach, kicked him, boom, right in the, give him a, he says, why are you doing that? He says, the Torah says, mefurash, pasuk in mishle, bimfor o yivcha al tismach. You're not allowed to kick your enemy. Don't be glad when your enemy falls. What are you doing? He says, you missed another pasuk, Ya Hamon. He says, what? He says, Parashat Vezot HaBeracha. Ve'ata al bamotem otidroch. You're Amalek. The Torah says, Meforash about Amalek, that you're supposed to step on them and beat them. Ve'ata Hamon. Anyway, b'kitzur. So he told him, he went up onto the thing, and later that day, quickly, after he had the whole garbage poured on him and all the midrashim, they pulled him quickly to go to the second party, which was on Ted Zayin B'Nisan. Little did he know that at that second party would be his demise. That's exactly when Esther said, Ish Tsar Ve'Oyev, and he got taken. That's how we know Haman got hanged on the second day of Pesach, Ted Zayin B'Nisan. How do we know? There's a pasuk in Yehoshua that says, Vayishbot Haman Mimachorat HaPesach. It says, it's a remez. In Yehoshua, when Am Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, when did Am Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael? Date? What was the date that Am Yisrael crossed the Jordan River to enter Eretz Yisrael with Yehoshua?
It was the 6th of Sivan?
Nope. Psukim Meforashim in Yehoshua. When did Am Yisrael enter Eretz? Well, the Navi says that it was 3 days after the conclusion of the 30-day mourning period for Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's make the cheshbon. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Zayin Be'Adar. They mourned him for 30 days. Yehoshua told the nation to prepare for 3 days to enter Eretz Yisrael, and they entered Eretz Yisrael for the first time for 10 days. Only problem is, hey, wait a second. What are they going to eat now? Yeah, what are they supposed to do? Because they're not allowed to eat the grain. Why can't they eat the grain yet?
It's chadash
until Pesach. They weren't able to eat any grain or any bread. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes that what? It continued to rain man for another 6 days until the Korban HaOmer was allowed to be brought, which then would permit last year's grain. Aha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it rain man for another 6 days, even though they were no longer in the Midbar. They were already in Eretz Yisrael proper. They had man for another 6 days until the 16th of Nisan, second day of Pesach, which is when the Korban HaOmer is brought. Once the Korban HaOmer was brought and all of the grain in Eretz Kena'an now becomes mutar, Hashem says, okay, no more need for man. So then the Navi says in Yehoshua, Vayishbot HaMan Mimachorat HaPesach. The man stopped falling on the second day of Pesach. The remez, the pasuk can also be read is Haman. Haman is the man, and Haman is also the person. Haman ceased to exist when? On the same day, second day of Pesach. Vayishbot Haman mitzvat Pesach. Anyway, it's an interesting. Aval, we're not done yet with the Quran. You read the Megillah every year. You got to know the timeline, people. You got to know what's going on. It's not the. It's not a dot. Anyway, kitzur. Yeah. Now, listen carefully. Hold on. The only problem is, even after Haman and his sons were hanged, Am Yisrael wasn't out of trouble yet. Because what? This was still in Nisan, a month after Haman's original lottery to kill the Jews and the notices were sent out. What's the problem? Come this coming 13th of Adar, in a little bit less than 11 months, what? All of the goyim are going to rise up against Am Yisrael to kill them, right? Because the decree was still in effect. So Esther came and asked the Ahasuerus to overturn it. So he says, unfortunately, I can't overturn one because I guess that was the law in Shushan and Paras, whatever it was, that anything that was signed, kichetav shenichtav b'taba'at ha-melech, v'nachtom taba'at ha-melech, en le'ashiv, you can't overturn it. What I can do is issue second orders that the first orders were that the goyim could slaughter the Jews and that the Jews were sitting ducks. The second order was that what? They'd be able to defend themselves, they'd be able to fight back. Fast forward 11 months from that second decree, the 13th of Adar comes. Now the 13th of Adar is when the goyim rose up, and by that point, most of the goyim already kind of chickened out because they saw all of the nisim niflaot that were happening to Am Yisrael. They saw that Haman, who kind of introduced the bill, is dead. They see that all of these nisim are happening. They heard that Esther was Jewish. So at this point, the Midrash says that most of the goyim that were all that bloodthirsty and whatever, they kind of cooled off. That's why it says when they fought and the Jews actually waged war on the 13th of Adar of the following year, how many people did they kill throughout the world?
500,
no? Nope. 500 in Shushan. How much in the rest of the world? Ve'arok besoneim. In the rest of the 127 provinces of the world, they killed 70,000 people. Can I ask you a question? If we're talking about the entire world, which Ahasuerus ruled, how much is 75,000 people relative to the whole world? Nothing. So what happened there? Ela, says the Midrash, what happened? There are only these people, not only 70, but only a very small amount of goyim that actually stood up to try to kill the Jews, and they all died. And then in Shushan, there was a nis that everybody died, the Jews didn't die, they were able to defend themselves. In Shushan, he gave another thing. Shushan, they had an extra day to fight, which means in the rest of the world, they fought on the 13th of Adar. In Shushan, they fought 13 and 14. The day after the fighting was done, wherever you are, was turned into Purim. In the rest of the world, they fought on 13, celebrated 14. In Shushan, when the fighting was 13 and 14, celebrations were on the 15th. Now, why are we fasting on Ta'anit Esther again? Yeah, if we're fasting because of Esther's fast, then shouldn't that be Pesach? Why are we doing it now? Yeah, so, go ahead.
It's because when the Jews were fighting, you have to fast, but since they were fighting, they can't fast, so therefore Esther, she fasted instead because she wasn't fighting.
Very close. But the Midrash Tanchuma says something very similar. It says, they looked back, what was the very first war in the history of Am Yisrael? The very first war. Amalek. When Am Yisrael, right after they left Mitzrayim, they were attacked by Amalek. They ended up winning that war. There were many casualties. But they ended up winning, Baruch Hashem. By the way, when else do we read about Milchemet Amalek?
Last week, I'll have time.
Well, that was Zachor. But when do we read about Milchemet Amalek? Vayavo Amalek?
Shabashav.
Purim. On Purim Day, that's the Kriya of Purim Day, is the end of Parashat B'Shalach, Vayavo Amalek, that's the Kriya of the Torah. So now, the Midrash Tanchuma says that when they fought against Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu told Am Yisrael, when you go out to war, fast. Fast that day. They told Moshe Rabbeinu, what? We're going out to war, we need energy, what do you mean fast? He says, yes, Am Yisrael wins wars not in natural ways. We don't wage war naturally, we don't win wars naturally. We're Am Yisrael. Hashem yilachem lachem ve'atim tacharishun. Kadosh Baruch Hu wages our wars. And therefore he says, pray and fast and be chozer b'tshuva and you'll see you'll win. And that's what they did. And they won. In the times of Mordechai ve'Esther, when it came time for the war on Yud Gimal be'Adar, on the 13th of Adar, which is Erev Purim, which is the day that they were attacked, Mordechai told Am Yisrael, we have to take our cue from Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to fast. They said, what do you mean fast? No.
It worked by Milchemet Amalek, it's going to work again. And they fasted. And therefore, in order to commemorate the Nes that happened as a result of our forefathers fasting in, you know, throughout the world and in Shushan HaBirah, when they fought the war of the 13th of Adar, that's why we fast. But it's not, it's interesting that it's called Ta'anit Esther, when really it wasn't really Esther's fast. It's kind of misleading. It was Mordechai telling Am Yisrael, probably Mordechai and Esther together, telling Am Yisrael that they have to fast in order to be zoche to the Nisim to win the war. So that was that. Now, a little bit of halacha associated with this fast. Because this fast is not associated with the Qurban Bet HaMikdash, and because this fast is not a sad one, as we said before, it's a happy fast, meaning a fast that we do in order to commemorate the nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us by that milchama, it is also more lenient than all of the other fasts of the year. Needless to say, da'at Maran HaShulchan Aruch is that pregnant and nursing women are patur from all of the fasts anyway. But what about a person with a mechushkal? Everybody feels somewhat unwell on a fast day, right? Just, huh?
What's the point of that?
Yeah, you get weakened. So that's not considered an illness. But let's say a person, as a result of the fast, his eyes hurt or he has a terrible headache or whatever it is. Not something that's necessarily going to knock him out. Because in halacha, what is the definition of illness? Huh? So two things. The Gemara brings down two definitions for illness in halacha, both with regards to here and with regards to Shabbat. You know, these are things that you have to know. Illness is A, when you are feeling so unwell that you can't stand, that you have to lie down, bedridden, that's number one. And number two is, even if you don't have to lie down, chala kol gufo, if your entire body hurts. Sometimes there's a local area that hurts. If your whole body hurts as a result of whatever you're going through, that's also considered chole. Now, what about if it's something local and it doesn't make me lie down? My head hurts, my eyes hurt, you know, something's, and it doesn't knock me down. On all other fasts, you'd have to, you know, be a trooper, stick it out, and finish and go. Unless you really feel unwell afterwards, that's a different story. On Ta'anit Esther, the Rama says, because Ta'anit Esther is more lenient than any of the other fasts, you'd be patur. There's a machloket whether or not you'd have to make it up. La halacha, we hold that a person does not have to make it up if he becomes patur as a result of that. Now,
Rasid Rama says that.
Huh?
Rasid Rama says that.
Correct.
So does Maran
pass? Maran doesn't argue. He doesn't talk about it, and therefore we go with the Rama, because when Maran doesn't say something, we default to the Rama like we would to any of the other poskim. Great poskim, obviously. Now, listen carefully. Tomorrow night, there is a... Most people are going to end off... Yeah, I know why you're laughing, but it's okay. Most people are going to be breaking the fast well after the fast is over, because anyways, you're in shul listening to the Megillah. Now, it's really weird and just not conducive to anything to start breaking your fast mid-Megillah, and it's not a thing. So you finish, whatever, and that's that. There are many people who don't come to the first reading in shul. There are multiple readings, they go later, read at home, whatever it is. What's the halacha in terms of them and breaking the fast? Men and women. Now, what does this revolve around? The halacha is that anytime anyone has nothing to do with Megillah, any mitzvah that you have to do, whether it's a night mitzvah or a day mitzvah, the halacha is until you fulfill that mitzvah, you are not allowed to have a seudat keva. You can't have a meal of a settled character. The Chachamim were concerned that food is a very powerful tool. Okay, when somebody starts a seudat keva, you never know where you can end up. And therefore the Chachamim said, before you start such a meal of a settled character, do your mitzvah first and then, okay. What is the definition of a seudat keva? Seudat keva in halacha is defined by either bread or pata ba'abe kisnin, which is mezonot items, cakes, cookies, whatever, more than a kabitza. Until a kabitza is considered seudat arai, like a snack, not a meal of a settled character. You can break your fast even on that, even before hearing Megillah. Fruits, vegetables, meat, rice, whatever, any of that, as much tadig, you know, all you can eat tadig, that's also not considered seudat keva. The Chachamim did not give special credence to tadig. Therefore,
no,
huh? Whoa. Of course, Baba Yosef. And he says, he went to track it down. That one pot for the whole wedding? Yeah. It turns out it's like UFC for the Tadig. Anyway, the kids.
My grandma had to start making two because
there was blood. Anyway.
My brother always goes for the centerpiece first.
Anyway, Bekitzer. Anyway, so over there, the halacha is more than that you can't have. Less than that, fruits, whatever it is, they can break their fast, which is an especially pertinent halacha for those who are not hearing the Megillah at Tfilat Arvit in the shul the first time. Now, if you want, technically, again, the fast is over for Sfaradim and Ashkenazim at different times, but let's, you know, we're majority Sfaradim in here right now. Aaron is also Sfaradi, he's honorary. Anyway, so, yeah, thank you. I adopted you, Aaron. Anyway. So, the fast is over for us, give or take, Queens, Brooklyn, Great Neck, whatever, at about 7:22-ish. Technically, if you want to bring a bottle of water, or go make a tea or coffee before the Megillah is read, and sip it, or eat something before the Megillah is read, that's mutad, because the fast is over. You just have to make sure. Now, sometimes it's not practical. It's packed and you can't get it. Whatever. But if you want to bring something with you and you want to sip on water or whatever it is, it would be mutar to do that once the fast ends. Yeah.
Is it more a diet to have it beforehand?
No. Fast is over.
No, but like bring it to it. Like,
well, the fast is over. No. Can one drink it during the meal?
If it doesn't distract you or others. You know, like. Yeah, if you're doing quietly. Like, I wouldn't recommend like a bag of chips or anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not. Like. That's obviously a thing of water, tishtev. That's okay. That's all right. Make sure also not to spill, because there's megillot all over the place and whatever. You spill water on a megillah, like a real megillah tester, dead.
The Rav Sofer was amazing.
Huh? Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it's soothing. It's very soothing. Yeah, it's very soothing. Anyway, I don't know if you saw the video that I posted of the of my Sofer. Did I post it on the chat? Posted on the Sfaradim. Oh. I had a very, very stressful day on Monday, and he sent me that video. I just watched it in a loop. To watch the Otiyot HaKadoshot being written, being built. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, created the entire universe with the Otiyot HaKadoshot of the Torah. The 22 Otiyot of the Aleph Bet, the five letters of Mitzapach. Kadosh Baruch Hu used that to create the world, and you see, what a feeling. You see Dvarim Shel Kedusha, other people, I don't know, that's my... other people watch other things on their phone. I try to watch, you know what I'm saying? I try to watch. Oh, eze. It's mamash. What a beautiful thing. Anyway, Rabotai, I want to leave you with a message and a bracha for a Purim Sameach. It's a day for Torah, obviously, as we spoke about last night. Kimu v'kiblo Yehudim. There's a Kabbalat HaTorah involved. It's a day for intense tefillah. The Chachmei Asod say that the same bechina that Achashverosh told Esther, "Ma she'elatech ve'inaten lach, u'ma bakashatech ad chatzi ha'malchut ve'te'as." Ask for whatever you want on this day. This is a day for Kabbalat HaTfilah. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of your heart's desires. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes through. Hopefully we'll see everybody. We're having a yeshiva-wide communal Seudat Purim in my shul, in the basement. Hopefully everybody knows Ol Simcha, my shul on 72nd Avenue. In the Simcha Hall in the basement at 12:45 p.m. on Friday. Everybody is definitely cordially invited. If I don't see you, you can also call me or you can drop by my house. Somebody can post my address, 13758 71st Avenue. If you want to drop by, that's that. And even if not, I wish you all a Purim Sameach and Be'ezat Hashem. Bright and early Sunday is very much a yeshiva day. We'll see everybody. And back to normal schedule. Yes, there is an entire month between Purim and Pesach. You know how many masachtot we can finish during that time? Wow! See you then, Be'ezat Hashem, Purim Sameach and Shabbat Shalom.
Rav, the whole school of saying Ayat HaShachar is 7 times. That's only Purim also for time to stay.
I think either.
One.
I think either.
To be a similar
yeah.